It's Thursday, September 1st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is also sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Now, with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution, get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use a promo code PODCAST. Hey everyone, here we are at show 701. Yes, 701. Got a great show lined up for you. Lots to catch up with. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Of course, we've got lots of shows at GNC. And matter of fact, I received an email from the Gadget Professor just before we started the show. He said that the Gadget Professor will be coming on Friday instead of our traditional Thursday release on that. So we'll see the new Gadget Professor podcast up tomorrow. So I hope you're all subscribed to that. And of course, Robot Underpants as well. And I tell you, I got something kind of cool in works. And there is a very high possibility that by the middle of next month, maybe closer to the end of next month, we're going to be introducing a new show at Geek News Central. And we're going to have potentially our first lady content creator. And I can't go into any more details really than that at this point. We're still in kind of some discussion points, but I'm thinking by around September 19th or 20th, we'll be able to kind of maybe make some announcements and share with you guys what we're going to be doing. So I'm pretty excited about that. So ladies, we're going to be having a tech gal that's going to be coming to the Geek News Central family and doing her own show. So let's, of course, I'm kind of excited about it, so I really want to talk more, but I can't. And this is a collaboration type of thing, so I look forward to being able to announce that if it continues to move forward. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show, all of you that are part of the Ohana. Thanks for being here, part of the family, of course, and thanks for sharing information about the show with the friends that you have, people that you know. And those of you that are joining us for the very first time, hey, it's very important for you to get subscribed to the show. Really, that's where the rubber hits the road. Subscribing will guarantee you that you will get the show delivered directly to your device, whether it be an iPhone, whether it be an Android, whether it be a BlackBerry. Get subscribed to the show through all the various subscription platforms that are available on the actual website at geeknewscentral.com. And I actually, what I did here tonight was I forgot to switch on one last segment so I could show you the screen. And let me make that selection now. But you can go over to Geek News Central and you'll see right on the main page, you'll see there that there is a orange box, has a link to all of our shows, the Gadget Professor, Morning Tech Show, GNC Audio and Video Podcast, the Chrome Show, Robot Underpants, you name it. Go ahead and get subscribed. And that way, you'll never miss a single episode here at Geek News Central. And if I'm not careful, we're going to start the pre-roll again. Oh, running the switcher. Too many hands. Not enough hands. But anyway, subscribe to the newsletter. Newsletter will get you show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And that way I'll keep you abreast of what's happening with the podcast, and we'll give you all the links to all the different content. Of course, you can watch us live on most Mondays and Thursday evenings on either here at geekandcentral.com, live.geekandcentral.com, over on Ustream. So we're, of course, we've got the stream up in several locations and running, and we've been letting the show run in replay mode for about 12 hours after I put the show up. So if you didn't catch it in the evening, you can always catch it first thing then the following day upon release. Of course, we have a channels on Tech Podcast Network on the Roku and Boxy. So make sure if you've got either of those devices that you get hooked up. Samsung Smart TV users, next week, going to be a new channel popping up there. So you're going to be able to get access there as well. If you've got comments about today's show or anything, if you want to drop a line to me, you can always tweet me at Geek News, at Geek News. Make sure you follow me as well. Of course, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the show hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to our sponsors. We had a great month. Of course, we want to thank Carbonite for being a sponsor here last month. That campaign has ended. We want to thank all of you for that have done trials with Carbonite. It was it's greatly appreciated. And of course, we want to thank GoDaddy and Citrix GoToMeeting as well for being sponsors last month. We're continuing on into September with both GoDaddy and Citrix continuing on as sponsors here. And they really make sure that we keep the lights on. And that's very, very important as we move forward and able to do the show. As you guys know, we've got just a few days left on this great deal from GoDaddy on being able to make money. And really, you need to consider this. Consider becoming a reseller. This is a great way to start your own business. And you know, every person should have their own business. You know why? There's very good deductions that you can have for having a home business and by becoming a reseller over at GoDaddy. This is a great way to get started. And they've got a great plan. And all you really got to do is go ahead. Now, I have a link up in the show notes, but we're going to give you a promo code called Geek30. Geek30 is the promo code. And when you're over and looking at the reseller plan at GoDaddy.com, you can pick between basic, pro, or a super reseller. Prices range from $9 to $17 a month on those three plans. If you pick it up for more than a couple of years, it'll actually be cheaper. But this is a great way for your storefront to be live in minutes. You get 24/7 product support for your customers through their reseller white relabel product. So you don't even have to do really live customer support. That's all handled for you. Automated billing and renewals, turnkey websites, including cart and credit card processing. They give you great marketing tools, including Google, Microsoft, Bing, Yahoo Search, and Facebook ad credits. And this is a great deal. As a matter of fact, you get a lot of money back in ad credits. So this is one way to kind of cash in on the GoDaddy deal. So definitely consider it, okay? But if you're not into setting up your own business and want to just pick up a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, you can do that by going over to GoDaddy, picking out some products. And when you get done, and you get to the checkout counter, don't forget all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right. Hey, one thing that that Sam reminded me of when I was out in Albuquerque was to basically talk about the Ohana store. And those of you that are on the newsletter and actually in the show notes last show on show 700 saw me basically put up the, let me take this down. Okay, well, let's push another button. You guys saw me put some of the items from the Ohana store into the newsletter and show notes. So there's lots of stuff there. There's a Geek News Central t-shirts, hats, caps, water bottles. There are sweatshirts. There's different stuff for the Ohana as well. Literally hundreds of items in here for you to pick up to support the show. A portion of that money comes back to Geek News Central supporting the show. We got stuff for the men and the ladies. If there's something in there that you see, say, oh, that's the wrong color. I wish they had it in black. Send me an email. We'll see about getting something added. But we definitely hope that you'll pick up your geekware and your Ohana support at the cafepress.com/Ohana store. All right, got lots to cover here with you here before we get into the content tonight. And boy, oh boy, we're going to give GoDaddy some more promotion there on the bottom third of the video. But yeah, tonight just running late. The older the kids get, the busier they are, and seems like the later we're getting them home, and tonight was no exception. So I was running a little late getting the show ready to rock and roll. But boy, I thought they were busy before. It just continues to escalate, and I'm sure it won't get any better as time goes on. Also, we announced yesterday that the 2011 Podcast Awards are going to be really, I'm pretty excited. We're going to be kicking off nomination process on September 15th, 2011. And this is exciting because we are going to be working, I can't say officially yet, but I think we're going to have the award ceremony at Blog World LA. And I got to work that out with the folks at Blog World, but in order to be ready to do the award ceremony at Blog World LA, we got to get going by September 15th to make it through the 6 weeks it requires to run that whole program. And just like last year, I'm looking for volunteers from this audience that want to help in the review of all of the shows that essentially the review of the nominees. If you're willing to help out, definitely email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Put a thing in the subject line, say podcast awards. Fair warning, each category takes 2, 3, maybe 4 hours to go through. So I'm really going to be asking for a commitment of each person that volunteers of 4 to 8 hours, because I try to have each volunteer do 2 categories. So we hope that you'll help us out. If you decide that you want to become part of the review team, let me know and email me here at geeknewscentral geeknews@gmail.com on that. All right, let me look through my list here. Yes, Blog World is going to be coming up in November, and my team is going to be exhibiting at Blog World. We're going to be right across from the podcast pavilion. Matter of fact, we're going to be running basically kind of like a podcast station within the booth itself. We're going to let people come in and record shows. So it's going to be a great event for us. We're going to be out there meeting content creators. So if you're in the Los Angeles area and you're within striking distance of the LA Convention Center, even if you're a listener, you may want to come down and get a day pass just to come in and tour the exhibits. And I'll be down there and I'll meet with folks, but we'll be in LA for Blog World Los Angeles. Was able to get the Google TV that was won by Ron delivered, but I'm still trying to get in contact with Steven and Brian on the Apple TV and Roku 2 win from show 700. So we'll try to get those out to those guys here in the next couple of days. Also, we had the Aaron Wood signed posters, and we gave you instructions on the last show on how to compete for those. I've got the two winners for that. We've got Oren Williams and Angie Strang as our two winners of the Aaron Wood signed posters. The answers to the bonus question was, whose voice was on the original intro GNC jingle? And of course, that was my daughter. And number two, how many jingles has the show used? Well, we've used officially 3 or 4. And so I basically kind of took that response on all those. And really, I didn't even really, if you sent the email, you were in on that. Well, I just want to give you guys a quick update before we get into the content. CPAP machine, things are going good. I've been 3 nights in a row now on the CPAP machine, and I got a little red spot right here from where the mask rests when I sleep, but that's going well. And today I actually met and had lunch with a buddy of mine, and him and I were talking about weight loss, and I think what I'm going to do is sign up for Weight Watchers and try that as a way to do it. They got a cool app where you can basically plan everything out, so I think that's what I'm going to go for. And we'll see. You guys wish me luck. All right, what else have I got on my stack here? Oh, Saturday morning on our Saturday Morning Tech Show, we'll be with the Geekness Central bloggers and writers. We may even have some of the content creators as well. We're going to be using the Google Hangout, so we hope that you'll join us and watch the Saturday Morning Tech Show starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Some of them have, because it's the Labor Day weekend, some of them have some commitments that they have to go one way or the other. So we'll have as many as we can. We'll have a fun hour anyway. Lots to talk about during the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Again, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Over the past few weeks, I have really fallen in love with the new product, the new revision of GoToMeeting and their new HD faces. This product is really, it's amazing what they have done. And let me actually go over to GoToMeeting.com. And this, because I'm on the landing page that the banner sends you to. There's a video there on the website that shows you exactly how this works. And I think when you try it, you're going to fall in love with it as much as I have. And it's the way really you can meet with online colleagues. And it's using their new high-definition group video conferencing where you can now collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And you guys know that I've used GoToMeeting with Faces. And again, it's awesome. Facial expressions can express so much more than words. And video quality is clear, natural, highest resolution. The industry, nothing really compares. And as a GoToMeeting, as a listener of this show, I'm going to guarantee you that GoToMeeting with HD Faces is really going to change the way you do business. And it's going to be even more personal, engaging, and effective. And I really want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It will change the way you work. As a listener of this show, you get a free 30-day trial by going over to GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button, okay? Click the Try It Free button. And when you get on the website, use the promo code PODCAST. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. And that gives us credit for that trial. Get over there and try it, and I think you're going to fall in love with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the regular content for tonight. And I've got a stack of stuff. And for the very first time in a long time, I am once again trying to see how well Firefox is going to essentially trying Firefox again as my browser of choice, and trying, because I've been having Chrome crash a lot, specifically on JavaScript. You know, it just gets up, everything gets loaded, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden one page refreshes and boom, JavaScript and or Flash dies, and the next thing I know, the browser is hung. So been dealing with that. So we're gonna see how good Firefox works tonight. All right, first article up, and this is a little bit of a scary one. An internet service provider has been sued for revealing info on a U.S. based critic of Thailand laws. Now, this is going to blow you away. This guy, his name is Anthony Chai. He's a naturalized U.S. citizen who immigrated from Thailand. He runs a computer store in California. And then using his store's computers, Chai and his customers posted anonymous comments critical of the King of Thailand on a Thai language pro-democracy website. So Thailand forbids people talking bad about the king, and people can get all kinds of trouble. So he was using an internet hosting firm called Netfirms. I think many of you have probably heard of Netfirms. Netfirms is incorporated in Delaware and maintains a U.S. office, but it is a Canadian-owned company. So basically, the Thai government requested information from Netfirms about who this poster was and tied the IP back to him. And Netfirms released the information to the Thai government without informing him, without any due process, without so much as an email saying that there was an inquiry. And when Chai was home visiting his family in Thailand, he was detained at the airport and subjected to extensive questioning and to threats of violence against his family, both in the United States and Thailand. He was also repeatedly questioned in the United States with prosecutors using the threat of prosecution and dangling and threatened prosecution. So this is what blows me away. He was also questioned in the United States for having a free speech issue over the King of Thailand. Apparently, also in Thailand, the prosecutors demanded expensive gifts. In other words, you're going to bribe your way out of this. And he's been officially charged in the Thai courts with what they call lese majesty, and consequently can no longer return to Thailand to visit his family. And but what's really even scary about this is this guy's posts were directed at the injustice of the specific laws he was charged against, rather than at the Thai king himself. So here, and he's basically as a U.S. citizen, a U.S. naturalized citizen, bearing the full rights of citizenship of here in the United States, has basically sued net firms for giving up his information and passing this over to Thailand. Now, it says that net firms simply handed over Chai's info without consideration of whether or not that was appropriate or if it violated Chai's rights. Said it also handed over the info without requesting that the officials attain the proper court order, subpoena, or warrant as required by the Treaty with Thailand on Mutual Assistance in Criminal Matters. So basically, he's now claiming negligence in violation of California laws, including its constitutional right to privacy. So here you got a company just giving up this guy's info. It's got to scare you. You know, they're just, you know, turn it over to police state, right? So pretty scary stuff here. So I don't know if you've done business with net firms or not, but I definitely would not be using them as an internet service provider or any type of hosting service whatsoever. But we'll see what this, how this case works out. This is an article over on TechDirt. Just want to give credit where credit's due. But wow, pretty shocking if you really think deeply about it. Hey, big news out of NASA today. NASA is pretty excited. Of course, the rover Opportunity and load web page. The NASA Mars rover Opportunity has begun study of the Martian crater that it spent 7.5 years really getting to. And they are really excited because they're looking at new types of rocks. And they're seeing all kinds of stuff, and they say that this has a whole new life on the mission. And the folks at NASA are obviously very, very excited about this. So we'll see what new discoveries the Mars rover Opportunity can bring to play here. A little more space news as well. Scientists are really beginning to get worried about space junk, and recent studies have shown it at a much higher risk than what was previously thought to satellites, the International Space Station. Of course, the Chinese didn't help when they blew up that satellite a couple of years ago and basically exploded 150 pieces of debris in the debris field. So they're trying to come up with different ways they could possibly clean this up. But there's definitely a big mess and not too many straight shots into space anymore. They have to plan their shot. Their launches around space debris, which is pretty scary. Of course, big news this week was the AT&T acquisition of T-Mobile may be in jeopardy here. Of course, the Department of Justice has a lawsuit opposing AT&T's proposed acquisition, and they're going to take them to court. And there's lots of discussion about it. Of course, AT&T is all surprised. We didn't think this was going to happen. And T-Mobile's rallying the forces of the company and the CEO sending out letters of encouragement. But usually when the Department of Justice goes after companies in this way, it doesn't bode well for the potential acquisition. Not to say that the game is over, but they do have a much tougher road to hoe with this latest development here. So really, we got to think about who wins and who loses if AT&T can't buy T-Mobile. Personally, I think the consumers win if AT&T is not allowed to buy T-Mobile. In the interim, obviously companies like Sprint, who would be at a huge disadvantage if these two companies were able to join together, I think Sprint wins on this one here. The administration obviously wins on this one because, you know, this is kind of one of those things that makes the public feel good. Here you've got the big king of the hill, AT&T. You've got the smaller T-Mobile. And I'll be honest with you, T-Mobile family plan rates, and they're really aggressively priced. And we've had a T-Mobile account for as many years as I can really even remember. At least 13 or 14 years, my wife has had a T-Mobile account. And the kids' phones are on T-Mobile on their family plan. It's cheap. And so I'd hate to see them go into AT&T's, you know, system, because all that would go away and less choice. But the folks over at digitaltrends.com has a big write-up on who wins and who loses. And, of course, lots of speculation there. But if you want to read that, of course, I have these links up in the show notes for you. On a very disturbing story, a 32-year-old paraplegic was sentenced to 6 years in prison for infecting more than 100 computers in a quest for financial information, nude photographs, and thrills. Now, this individual worked as a freelance computer consultant in Santa Ana, earning about $1,000 per week writing programs and building websites. But I guess he also lived a double life, earning as much as $3,000 per day, hacking and stealing financial information from his victims. He built malware, he built viruses, and what's even scarier is that one victim, a juvenile, identified prosecutors sent this guy pornographic photos after he hacked into her computer and tricked her over instant messaging into believing he was her boyfriend. And then threatened to post the photos online if she didn't send him more pictures. So this is disgusting. And so I don't know how the court system handles a paraplegic being sentenced for 6 years and what kind of conditions it's going to require for him to be in prison. But this is somebody we definitely do not want on the street. Boy, oh boy. And he broke into over 3,200 email accounts looking for photos and et cetera. So it just goes on and on. But this whole thing about trying to coerce a 14-year-old into sending him more pornographic images is pretty disgusting. Now, why the 14-year-old was sending her boyfriend pictures in the first place was is a whole different story. And that in itself is a little bit, oh my goodness. But be careful, man. There's a lot of whacked out individuals out there. They're doing nasty things. And, you know, basically, it, you know, he coercing this person and, you know, saying, okay, you sent me some pictures. I'm not your boyfriend. I'm going to put them on the internet. If you don't, you know, a 14-year-old or even a 15-year-old is not mentally equipped to really handle that type of extortion. And we really need to make sure we're telling our kids, okay, you know, if you're someone is trying to extort money, pictures, whatever out of you, you got to be brave enough to come and say, I'm in trouble, and ask parents for help. But this is scaring stuff, scary stuff. So we'll see where this goes. But got one predator and weirdo off the street, that's for sure, with this conviction. In California courts. Now, a little more on the weird side. A computer was stolen from a school district and then basically sold on Craigslist or sold somewhere. And the person that bought it, it's even a little weirder. This gal by the name, a school teacher by the name of Susan Clements Jeffrey, who was in the possession of this laptop, bought this specific laptop from one of her students in 2008. But the laptop actually belonged to the Clark County School District in Ohio, and the student had stolen it. And apparently there'd been this laptop had changed hands a couple of times. But long story short, she got this laptop for $60. Okay, so she had to at least know something was up. Okay, here, I'm going to give you this laptop I don't need anymore for $60. You know, a teacher buying something from a student is, first of all, a little bit, you know, that shouldn't be happening. But the school district had LoJack installed on this laptop, and they basically were able to capture data to determine where this computer was. And what they captured was this school teacher sending, again, adult pictures of herself and chat sessions to her boyfriend, which LoJack captured. And so judges basically said, hey, you can track these laptops, but you can't spy on stuff that's like that. And you can be sued. Agree with it or not, at this point, the company can be sued. Absolute Software can be sued for basically really getting into deep private moments of two people's conversations and images being sent back and forth. And now they're going to get sued by this person in a big, big way. But we'll see what happens with this. Be careful what you're buying out there, okay? Hey, how many of you are fans of Buzz Out Loud? It's a CNET podcast. The folks at Buzz Out Loud has announced that they are going from a daily show to a weekly show. And that's probably a disappointment for many of you. Makes me really kind of wonder what the folks at CNET are up to in their whole lineup. They say that some of their daily programs will be kind of trying to cover some of the extra materials that Buzz Out Loud Void is leaving. But they're going to do a weekly show now. And they say this change opens up a lot of opportunities for the Buzz Out Loud team. So I wonder if Buzz Out Loud never regained its pillar of being so popular when Tom Merritt left. So we'll see what happens here, but they're definitely making a change to the lineup at Buzz Out Loud. And any show that goes from a daily to a weekly is good for Geek News Central. And so make sure you tell your friends that like Buzz Out Loud that we do two a week here, and to get subscribed. Any show that's popular like that, that only goes to a weekly show is good for us. Not necessarily good for the people that like the show, but it can always cause subscribers to migrate over here. All right, the Mac App Store has gotten a lion-friendly app section. And I kept thinking about this. I'm like, why would they, I didn't know that some apps wouldn't work. Of course, I haven't bought many apps in the App Store. But now they do have apps enhanced for OS X Lion. And they're making it available here with the multi-touch gesture. It's basically apps that feature multi-touch gestures, full screen apps, resume, resume, autosave, and a variety of different other features. So anyway, that's available now in the App Store. So if you look for that specific section. All right, Apple, hey, those of you that like Final Cut, guess what? Apple has very quietly put Final Cut back on sale. So they're selling Final Cut Studio 3, the professional video editing software that it discontinued earlier this year. It's back on the shelf. Now the price is still $999, which is what the bundle cost before the final release of Final Cut Pro 10. So this is interesting. Now they say this is not really bringing it back, but they have a quote-unquote limited number of copies left that they're going to sell. So it makes you wonder if they're not selling too many versions of Final Cut Pro 10 at $299. I know that I'm having some challenges with the new Final Cut Pro, and we left Final Cut Studio still installed, so I'll be able to revert where I need to, but it makes you go, just a little bit. All right, Financial Times has pulled their app over customer data dispute with Apple. Financial Times has basically dropped their application. And this is partly because Apple insisted that that the sales must take place via the App Store. Financial Times was not willing to give up 30%. And they're saying about 25% of Financial Times sales come via its website, and mobile devices comprise 22% of that traffic on FT.com. So FT basically said, we can't lose that much money. So we're going to drop the application and people just have to come here via the web. And we're not going to be beholden to Apple. So I'm surprised more companies didn't drop. And it is kind of surprising the number of companies that acquiesced to Apple that did. Let's talk about Linux for a second. I don't normally cover Linux on the show, but the Linux Kernel Archive website, which is located at kernel.org, was compromised by hackers last month. And according to a statement posted yesterday on the website, unauthorized parties successfully seized root access to several kernel.org servers and planted a Trojan. The site host of the source code of Linux kernel and a number of other projects. The attack was believed to have occurred on August 12th, but wasn't detected until August 28th. And the attack vector wasn't known, but they feel that the attacker somehow obtained a legitimate user's login credential and then exploited an unknown privilege escalation vulnerability. So this is huge. They've taken the affected systems offline, and they feel that they have essentially the code is safe. They considered it highly unlikely that the attacker injected code into an active Linux kernel tree on the Linux.com site, but kernel developer and Linux Weekly news writer John Corbett published a detailed explanation of how the Linux kernel development workflow worked, which has multiple layers of code review and relies on a distributed version control. So we'll see. But this is a huge blow when you have the Linux kernel archive server, which holds the master versions of Linux, when it's hacked and gained access to. Wow. The damage, the absolute damage could be done by just some small code putting somewhere into the kernel would not be good. But it's hard to believe it took 16 days for them to figure it out. These are supposed to be the guys, these are supposed to be the Linux experts, right? Amazing. Hey, Michael Arrington is raising a $20 million venture capital fund. And boy, people are just howling this afternoon. I mean, there is just like article after article after article saying the conflict of interest, AOL, you have a conflict, AOL, how can you allow him to continue to be on staff, blah, 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 blah. But it turns out that Arrington's $20 million crunch fund, it turns out that AOL is going to be the cornerstone investor in it. Okay, so you've got the guy that writes primarily about new startups in the Valley. You know, a startup can live or die based upon him saying, this is good, it sucks, it's the best thing since I've ever seen. And he's taken advantage of companies before, he's invested in companies before that he's been able to see before the general public has. So now, AOL, who's going to be an investor in this, and Michael Arrington, who is going to still be at the head of TechCrunch, this has huge implications. So if you know, the best way to describe it is, if you have a company that makes business cards, I'm holding a business card here, and Arrington says, oh yeah, I'm going to invest in this business card company, and we're going to talk all about it. And then another business card company says, hey, Michael, we're getting ready to launch. Here's our plan. Well, what if he doesn't write about them and gives preference over one company over the other? I can't see how he's going to still be able to write for TechCrunch. AOL says he'll still write, but he'll no longer have editorial control or decision making. Well, who's going to tell him? That's just a bunch of BS, because he's still going to be able to write, and no one's going to stop stuff from being put up. Now, I wonder how Mike's boss, Arianna Huffington, thinks about this, what she thinks. But it is a little bit eye-opening. He should completely walk away from TechCrunch if he's going to do this. He should not be allowed to write for the blog, especially if he's going to be investing in other companies. I think it would make a great venture capitalist in investing in companies. I think he'll do well, but there has to be some separation there. It really does. There's a good article over on searchengineland.com talking about pages that display tweet buttons see 7 times more social mentions. So if you have a tweet button on your website, you're going to get a lot more exposure. I know it drives a lot more traffic to GNC, that's for sure. Hey, big news today out of Netflix. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings basically said, hey, we weren't able to do a deal with Starz and we're walking away. He says, Starz has been a great content partner for many years and we're thankful for their support. While we regret their decision to let our agreement lapse next February, we're faithful to Chris and his team for the early notice of their decision, which gives us time to license other content before Starz expires. Starz was going for a lot of money. But here's the kicker of this. He says, because we've licensed so much great content from other content creators, Starz content is now about 8% of domestic Netflix subscriber viewing. As we add a huge more of content in Q4, we expect Starz content to naturally drift down to 5 to 6% of domestic viewing in Q1. He says, we're confident we can take the money we have earmarked for Starz renewal next year and spend it with other content providers to maintain or improve the Netflix experience. Well, guess what? You know what they just did to Starz? They flipped them the bird. They basically said, hey, you're done. You're out of here. You know, what's going to happen now? This is what's going to happen. Starz is going to say, well, maybe we got too greedy. That's money gone. What do we do? Well, 2-3 months, maybe they'll come back and say, hey, you know, we can do a deal. And here's the new offer. So this is maybe just a play by the Netflix folks. But if you haven't seen all the Starz movies on Netflix, get to watching them right away because the TikTok. Over in scripting.com, I had to laugh. Dave Weiner wrote an article called The Arrogance of Tech. And he basically bought a new MacBook and he basically is all pissed off about them taking away scroll bars. He says, they took away scroll bars. Scroll bars. Can you believe it? That would be like God taking away fingernails. Okay, our lives don't depend on fingernails, but please, why do they think of these things, much less deliver the product? Sorry, Apple, this is just plain wrong. Let me say that slowly. Just plain wrong, a mistake, a bug, something you must fix if only to teach you in a lesson, whoever you are, oh hater of scroll bars, that you are not God and don't get to make these decisions. So obviously Dave Weiner's upset about Apple removing scroll bars. All right, ohananews.com is now in my firm possession. It's been transferred into my domain account. 223 domains I have over at GoDaddy. And I've been looking for ways to use the ohananews.com website. So I want to invoke some thought from you folks. What should we be using Ohana News for? I actually was looking at a site called Blog Frog, and it's basically add a community to your blog. And Scoble did a review of this website, and I took a peek of it. It seems like it's got lots of kind of interactive stuff, lets people share stuff. It's kind of like almost a Facebook type of thing for a blog. But I got to figure out kind of how it would interact with GNC and if I'd have to install another WordPress site. But I just kind of want something where we can all kind of hang out and, you know, discuss stuff back and forth. So you guys take a look at Blog Frog and tell me if you think this is a viable product that we should use for ohananews.com, or if you have your own suggestions, you can do that. Love to hear your feedback. All right, since the hurricane walked up the East Coast last week, here is a cool article on Gizmodo talking about FEMA. It says FEMA determines how bad a hurricane is by checking if the Waffle House is open. Now, they don't have Waffle Houses here in Honolulu. As a matter of fact, I don't think they have many Waffle Houses on the West Coast. Of course, the West Coast really doesn't get hit by hurricanes. But anyway, the Wall Street Journal, FEMA administrator, they thought this story was lifted from the Onion. But according to the Wall Street Journal, FEMA's administrator Craig Fugate uses a Waffle House index to help him determine how destructive a hurricane has been to an area. So he says, if a Waffle House is closed, it's pretty bad. Specifically, his interpretation was green. And I guess Waffle House keeps some sort of a website with different color codes on what the status is of the stores. He says green means the restaurant is serving a full menu, a signal that damage in the area is limited and lights are on. Yellow means a limited menu, indicating power from a generator at best and low food supplies. Red means the restaurant is closed, a sign of severe damage in the area or unsafe conditions. He says that the history of Waffle House is they keep Waffle Houses open at all cost, and this is a good measure of how bad a hurricane is. Unbelievable, the Waffle House index. God, I used to love going to Waffle House, and I don't dare step in one these days. It would, you know, I have a hard enough time eating good as it is, but nothing. Oh man, their hash browns, as greasy as they were. For those of you that I know, you're grossed out, but you gotta admit, after you've been out drinking, that's the place to go. It really is. Yeah, that's the best 2 o'clock in the morning food, or that or at Denny's. All right, there's some pretty good movies. Actually, I got a couple emails on this as well. There's some Hubble movies that are pretty cool that show a time lapse. Hubble looks at a piece of sky and takes a image and comes back a year later and takes another image. I can't play them because they have music in them that I can't play on the show because the video will get flagged by YouTube if I do. But I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check out the videos there at of the Hubble that are up online. I have that linked up for you, okay? Hey, over on torrentfreak.com, if you are a hotfile.com user, Hotfile has been ordered to share user data with the MPAA. So in ongoing battle with the MPAA, the Florida-based file hosting service Hotfile has suffered really a major loss here. The federal court has ordered Hotfile to disclose user data, the identities and revenues of their top affiliates, and financial information in the company itself. So this is big. This is a big, big deal. So if you've got any files over there on Hotfiles, be aware that the DOJ, the MPAA, is going to have your information here real soon. Along with that, there's a story about the world's first BitTorrent certified digital TV. Yes, a BitTorrent certified TV. Basically, in early 2000, basically launched this product. It was codenamed Chrysalis, and they've used an application on the device to search for files. They're shared on BitTorrent, and then it downloads these files and plays them on the television. So TV manufacturer Vestel announced the launch of the first digital TV, and this is pretty big. This is big stuff here, and here's kind of a mock-up of what it looks like. And consumers, basically, they're saying that consumers want all types of personal media and internet content in their living rooms, and the TV remains the most desired device for consuming this digital media, regardless of source. Vestel's Håkan Katulu said, commenting on the announcement, "The BitTorrent certification helps our TV line meet this consumer demand and ensures that Vestel products remain at the forefront of technology, innovation, and adoption." This is big. So we'll see. This is being demoed at the IFA in Berlin today or tomorrow. So, wow. The first BitTorrent TV. Next thing they're going to be doing is the MPAA is going to be trying to get this company shut down. Good article over on PC Magazine from John C. Dvorak. He says, "I want my Apple TV." I guess, you know, I want my MTV. I want my Apple TV. He says, "As Steve Jobs takes a few steps back from Apple, I'm hoping upon hope that by this Christmas or even next, Apple decides once and for all to show the world the great potential of Apple TV. He said, I'm talking about an embedded Apple TV device inside a large format LED LCD TV emblazed with the Apple logo and worthy of the Apple premium, a real TV set, if you will. So here's the question. Do you think that Apple is going to come out with a true TV, a true Apple TV that you're going to be able to spend about, well, you'll have to spend about $3,000 more on than what you would have to at a Best Buy picking up a Samsung smart TV? So what do you guys think? Think that's going to really happen? Or do you think they're just going to figure out what to do with their hockey puck and improve that and make that a better experience? I don't know. So, would you trade in your regular TV for an Apple TV? Would you pay the premium for one? Be curious to see what they would do there. Whatever they would do, you know, it would be sexy. You know, it would be the hottest ticket to have. People would be clamoring to have an Apple TV in their homes. I just can't imagine them not. This next article is kind of a fun article, and the video was really cool. I had to watch the video. But an RC, yes, a remote-controlled F-16, the guy that built it designed into it a first-person remote view. Basically, he, in the place where the pilot seat would be an F-16, he put a dummy in there with a camera on its head that would move and basically could be follow the flight and you could see out the window. It is pretty realistic. I'll let you guys play the video. It's awesome. This guy did a great job with this F-16 in cockpit camera that live streams video. I mean, it is truly, it gives you that only a glass cockpit can, and it's pretty realistic. Having about 350 to 400 hours in a two-seater FA-18, I thought, wow, that's pretty doggone close to the real deal and the way the images look like. And I'll let you guys play the video, have the link up in the show notes. And for those that I haven't told that, I don't think I've ever told that story about being stationed in Lemoore, California, and how I was able to basically fly with the training squadron there, the RAG. Tell that on another show, another day. All right, Morbed, well, you know, I already talked about that. We'll skip that. Oh, the Chinese. Let's talk about the Chinese, how they kind of slipped up. There was a interview. Basically, it was a Chinese propaganda, military propaganda piece. It was being screened on CCTV. That's a Chinese, one of the Chinese state television channels. I think they're all state controlled. But when they were showing the video, they were showing the screens of a university that was basically doing cybersecurity stuff. And basically what they shown is an app. When you translate the app, it's an attack app. And the IP that's in the screen capture that's in the video is actually of a university here in the United States. What it says here in the piece, the screenshot appears at the B-roll footage in the documentary for 6 seconds between 11:04 and 11:10, showing custom-built Chinese software apparently launching a cyber attack against the main website of the Falun Gong spiritual practice by using a compromised IP address belonging to a United States university. And this was a video that's on YouTube, and this is pretty funny. Now the video was removed from the CCTV site, but they got all the goods here. But the University of Alabama, Birmingham, basically that was the server that was compromised and they had hacked. And there's a lot of detail in this article, but you know, the channel, we never hacked nothing, but here it shows them using attack software to control and manipulate a server in Alabama. Now, what I've been watching is the server that I had compromised about a month ago, which we have essentially made into kind of a little bit of a honeypot. That thing has gotten, man, it's the Chinese are trying to break into this thing bad. And one specific IP is hammering this thing just like night and day trying to get in. It's pretty interesting to watch this brute force attack being attempted right now. We're getting a little annoyed with him, so we think we're going to just put in an IP block, but we've been watching all the different stuff that they've been doing. They have definitely, they wanted to back into this box. It's just nothing in it anymore anyway, so they get into it, it's going to be a shell. It's interesting to see where the attacks come from when you're actually logging everything. All right, for those of you that are Mac users, the Parallel Desktop 7 has been updated. It's more Lion friendly and featured updated iOS support and more. So make sure you get that update of Parallels Desktop 7. Along with that, if you are using Gmail and you're trying to set up a calendar event, there's some good tips here on lifehacker.com on how to avoid time zone confusion when you create Google Calendar events. And that happens to me all the time. So there's some tips here that you can follow on how to make sure that everyone gets the exact time that they or comes to the meeting or comes to an event at the exact time that you want them to. All right, this week at Geek News Central, it's been a big week. We've had a huge traffic week. We covered the Ford Evos concept car. This is an exciting new concept vehicle. Probably will never ever be truly put a lot online and made available for resale, but we got some good videos of it. I have some stuff up there in the show notes for you, but a good write-up by KL, one of our writers here at Geek News Central. Another article that we did that Jeffrey Powers did is one of our writers again at GNC. He talked about Ford joins with Zipcar and adding a Focus and Escape to the Zipcar rental lineup. And this is really a great announcement for all college students that only need a car for a few hours a week. Again, Ford has announced this a 2-year alliance with Zipcar to add Escape and Focus cars to over 250 university campuses. And the 2012 models will start arriving on campus starting next week. So this is big on that front. Now, the folks at Sony as well have announced 2 new tablets. And that was announced at the IFA trade show. Sony announced the first 2 tablets, the Sony Tablet S and the Sony Tablet P. We may be getting a tablet here to review. Folks from Sony reached back to me. But Alan, one of our writers at Geek News Central, did this write-up, and we've got a good video on the website of this. So lots of great content. Finally, of course, we've got an update from Tom Wiles, of course, better known as Trucker Tom, on the experience he has had with the TomTom Go version 2535M. This is a GPS that you're going to want to stay away from. Major, major troubles. Tom went through his second unit and basically said, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to tell you, Tom, you need to go out and get that Magellan that I reviewed. Absolutely beautiful GPS. And I think you'd be very, very pleased with it. All right, there's a new tutorial on jailbreaking iOS 5 beta 6. So if you're running iOS 5 with the new beta, there's a jailbreaking tutorial. Linked is available over on the Engadget website. One thing I want to call attention to, and let's see if I can get this up for you. I'm really excited about what we got happening with Samsung and their smart TVs. What they're going to be doing is this, they've got a smart TV update, I believe, is happening on Monday, potentially. But they're going to be rolling out a YouTube 3D feature. So if you go to the YouTube channel on the smart TV, you're actually going to be able to watch 3D videos from an app, basically right on the app section. And you're going to be able to watch, again, 3Ds on your 3D TV from Samsung. It's a great way to get access to 3D content. Of course, don't forget your glasses, all right? Over on the Engadget website, I'm always looking for ways for content creators to potentially find decent microphones and headsets. And I've always been impressed with some of the gaming headsets just because they have a, you know, they're pretty nice designed. They've got a semi amount of control, and they make it, if nothing else, for good Skype usability. But Creative has introduced a new Sound Blaster gaming headset. It's the Recon 3D audio platform / sound cards. And basically, this will work on Xbox, PlayStation 3, a PC or Mac platform. Of course, it is Xbox 360 friendly, has Sound Blaster Tactic 360 Sigmas being revealed. So this is pretty cool new headset. I don't know what the price is, but might be a worthy headset to pick up if you're looking for a decent headset to do Skype or Google Hangouts and Google Plus Hangouts and so forth. You guys know that I've been a big fan of Pogo Plug throughout the years, and Pogo Plug has introduced a, what they're calling a mobile hands-on, Pogo Plug Mobile. And what this is really is, Pogo Plug, for a long time, you've been able to plug an external hard drive to it. You've been able to access that hard drive from wherever you're at. And they've been a really kind of a cloud player from the beginning, and really the cloud is in your house when you have one of these. And the Pogo Plug Mobile is essentially going to allow you to back up pictures and stuff off your smartphones, tablets. You're going to be able to load photos from it and so forth, back and forth. But it's got some mobile designs. And I can't wait to get my hands on one of these to really try it out and see exactly what it's doing. While you can get the Pogo Plug software downloaded as a software download and install it on a computer, the actual Pogo Plug devices are so non-intrusive, they really make sense to get them. It's $79 is the new price on this. And it's going to be available on October 1st. But it's going to have all kinds of mobile functionality along with everything else it's done. And for those of you who don't know what a Pogo Plug device will do, is you plug it into your internet router and you connect an external hard drive to it. And then once that is, you can install the Pogo Plug software on your desktop, and it will map the Pogo Plug as a drive, and you can just drop stuff over to it. So no matter where you're at, you can log on the web and go through the PogoPlug.com website and get access to that hard drive externally, or you can even have a laptop, and you'll be able to connect to it through the Pogo Plug software and get stuff as well. So it's really a great way to get access to certain files that you may have left at home. And what I do, I have a lot of business files on there that I don't want to carry on my laptop. So whenever I need one, I just go in Reach and I pull it out and I grab it and drop it on the laptop, make a modification, and then put it back on the Pogo Plug drive. It's kind of a nice little cloud way, and it keeps that stuff semi-private. And if my laptop gets stolen, the data is not on the laptop itself. So anyway, that I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Hey, AT&T, of course, not only did they announce, they got hammered by the Department of Justice, AT&T has discontinued their A-List feature for new customers. And really what the A-List feature was, you were able to have a list of four or five, maybe 10 people that when you called, it didn't count against your minute pool. And then there was some stuff that was tied in to rollover. If you've got the A-List feature now with your AT&T plan, so long as you change nothing, it'll remain in effect. But if you change your AT&T plan whatsoever, the A-List feature is going to drop off, and no one else from here forward will be able to get that as part of their offering. And so anyway, AT&T, once again, tightening up the stuff that they're making available. Hey, do you have a small apartment? Well, I've been a big Dyson vacuum cleaner fan for a number of years. We're on our second Dyson. They are just absolutely amazing machines. There's only been one other vacuum that was ever better. Believe it or not, it was a vacuum cleaner that was made by Amway back way, way 10, 15 years ago. It had a monster motor on it, and basically did some of the same things that the Dyson does. The bag, you know, it was bagless before it was cool to be bagless, but the Dyson has basically introduced a DC 41, It's a small, tiny vacuum for apartments. So if you've got a small apartment and you have carpeting and or even just wood floors, this thing is a beast. It's got a 255 air watts of suction power. And I'm going to tell you, these machines can pick up some dirt. Not inexpensive. It's going to cost you a cool $600. But this DC41 looks like an animal. And another great product from the folks over at Dyson. Did you guys know a Nexus S went aboard the space shuttle Atlantis and was attached to basically a mini satellite? It's called the Synchronized Position Hold Engage Reorient Experimental Satellite aboard the shuttle. And they were using the Android, specifically its open source nature, to build sensors, and it helped control the sphere. There's a cool video on it. I'll have the link up in the show notes, but for those of you that are Nexus S fans, yes, your phone has went into space. last couple of fun articles here. If you are ever pulled over by the police, you need to know your rights. And when you're dealing with the law, if you just get arrested or you get pulled over, the folks at Lifehacker have a couple of little cards you can have that you can study up on and so that you know your rights if you ever are detained by the police. And so these are cards that are, you know, if you get pulled over for a DUI, you get pulled over a moving violation, you get pulled over for whatever reason, you at least you'll know your rights. Not to say you're not going to get arrested, but you'll at least know your rights and what you can say and what you can't say and what you can allow them to do in searching a car and so forth. So I have these linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. Here's a little warning here. Do any of you own the Shoulder Flex? It's a massage device that lays on the carpet. You lay down on it. There's a pillow. It rubs your neck. If you have a Shoulder Flex, please, please, please pick that thing up. There's a recall on this thing. It's killed a person. Okay. It strangled someone by getting something caught in it. And it pulled it in and it strangled them to death. So, be aware here that if you have a Shoulder Flex or know anyone that has a Shoulder Flex massage device, get that thing, lock it up. Don't let anybody use it, all right? And the final article for tonight is those of you that use Google Blogger will know that Google Blogger has gotten some new features and looks. So pretty cool stuff here, what they've done. And it's been a long time, like 3 years since Blogger had a facelift. All right, well, we kind of got quick through the show tonight. Even though we're still running long, we'll kind of get back into the regular groove on the next show. But I had a lot of stuff to cover tonight, that's for sure. And, of course, I want to congratulate Oren Williams and Angie Strang for winning the Aaron Wood signed posters. Congratulations to them. And, of course, we don't want to forget Steven Orenstein on the Apple TV and Brian with no last name who won the Roku 2. And let me go ahead and open up my email. Actually, I have a voicemail first. This comes from Andrew Darlow. And I go ahead and play this and then we'll do the emails and we'll get everybody out of here. Hang on a second. All right, here comes Andrew's voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Andrew Darlow from sunny New Jersey. After a very, very rainy and scary storm over the weekend, first, I'd like to congratulate you on 700 shows. It's an amazing accomplishment, and I've learned so much from you by listening over the years, and I agree with you also that your blog and you do a great job on the website. So just consistently great content. Regarding the storm, luckily my power stayed on during the hurricane, and my sump pump kept my basement dry after having a small flood last December when it burned out. So I thought I'd share a quick tip or two, as well as a battery product recommendation. for people, and I think it would ease people's minds a little bit, maybe help them out. If anyone has a sump pump or other type of pump to avoid in a home, I recommend either having a spare sump pump ready to go if it burns out, or some other electric pump to take place of the sump pump. One idea is a large submersible aquarium pump, which you can just drop in to the sump pump area. It's made for water that's less than pristine, and you can buy them as little as like $20 up to about $100, and that will move 1,000 gallons an hour.
Wow.
So one place I found them was marinedepot.com. You can also get 12-volt marine pumps and hook them up to different types of batteries. If you lose power, a small gas generator is good, probably the best, but it has to be vented outside. So another alternative, which I bought, is a 12-volt battery backup with a built-in inverter. Harbor Freight Tools, which there's quite a few of them here in the lower 48. They have one that I really like for under $100. It's called the Chicago Electric 5-in-1 Portable Power Pack, item number 96157. Duracell has a few, and they call them the Duracell Power Packs. So just some stuff that hopefully can help others. Also, a water alarm is very helpful. I highly recommend them. Check them out online. There's a lot of them available. That's all I have for now. Keep up the great work, and aloha.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for calling and giving us your feedback on the hurricane. Let me just talk just a second about my experience, too, with storms. You guys know that I, back in 1997, I went through Typhoon Omar. We had, it was a super typhoon, Cat 5 plus, if there's such a thing. The propeller on the weather station, I believe, just departed the building at either 205 or 215 miles per hour. I was in a building that was had walls that were collapsing. Basically, it was the sheetrock just got wet and then it collapsed and we lost the roof. It was pretty crazy 20 or so hours of that storm. But if you do buy a generator, also buy a chain and a very sufficient lock that can't be cut, because what you should do with your generator is after the storm, you don't want that thing in the house or in the garage. You want that nowhere where you're going to get CO2 buildup, but you're going to want it outside, and you're going to want, of course, to keep the fuel separated from it so you know you don't start a fire by blowing exhaust onto the fuel or whatever. But long story short, why you're using by the chain is when you've been without power for 37 days, a generator is a very popular thing when there's none to be had. And while you run your generator during the day and do what you have to do, cook or whatever, when you shut the thing off at night to go to sleep, the crooks are out and they want to steal the doggone thing. So always have a hefty chain and in that you can chain the thing up and lock it so that someone isn't going to cart your generator off at night. Also, another thing that we always did in Guam, at least, is we had to keep the furniture and stuff from being damaged because the water coming into the house. Now, if you have 5 feet of water, there's nothing you can do. But if you get a small trickle of water through your house, which will happen sometimes, is we used the coffee cans to get the furniture up. And every home had 100 coffee cans that you would use. Another thing that we had was basically plastic trash cans that we never used. And they would hold about, I think, like 50 gallons. And we would fill those up with garden hoses, and those would be in the house. And there would be enough water to basically, I think I had 5 or 6 of those. So we had close to like 300 gallons. It lasts us a long time flushing toilets, taking, and these are trash cans you never use for trash. They're pristine, but we use those to, you know, scoop some water and take a, and when the, because the water was out too. So we would be able to at least take a shower and wash up and have enough water to flush the toilets. You know, people say, fill your bathtub full of water. That's going to last like a day. Okay. So you got to have a large quantity of water. And we actually pulled these trash cans right in the house and filled them up. And I know it sounds kind of scary, but that's what we did. at least. And of course, if your house gets blown down, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. And that additional water that those things will cause by spilling is not going to be a big issue. But you never saw more crazy people than chasing an ice truck. You know, an ice truck would go down the road making a delivery to a store, and there would be a mob trying to get ice. All right, let me go into email real quick here, and we'll get everyone out. Thanks, Michael, for the congratulations on show 700. Thanks, Ross, for your congratulations as well. Max, thank you for yours. Anna, thank you for your congratulations. Steve as well, thank you for the congratulations. Eric, thank you for yours. Robert. And also, I got an email here from Barry about his Carbonite experience. And if you guys still want to pick up Carbonite, you can. That those offer codes still work. Just get that free 15-day trial using the promo code TPN. But Barry says, hey, Todd, just want to let you know I signed up for the free trial this past Saturday morning with a very easy install. I noticed that the backup seemed to be going very slowly. I thought maybe there was a slowness due to the hurricane. Well, I waited until today, Tuesday, to contact them. The first customer support realized my issue was above his level, so he escalated the issue up a notch. The second customer service arranged to remote into my Mac. He was able to quickly identify the issue. I installed Lion, and the version I downloaded Saturday had not been updated with the Lion patch. Once updated, the backup has been progressing as I would have expected. By the way, and not to gloat, but I do have Fios with a current download speed of 32 megs and an upload speed of 22 megs. He says, great customer service, had their problem resolved quickly, less than a minute on hold, and when escalated, I was the next person. So again, no wait. My reasons for trying Carbonite is the price. I currently use AWS, which has become pricey. It is not flat rated. Regards, Barry. Barry, I've got 141 gigs backed up on Carbonite. So I agree, a great experience. Let's see here. What I was gonna say about I did order. I haven't told the kids yet. I did order the new Hawaiian all inclusive pack to get their new internet service. So we're getting the install here on September 13th. Yeah, and of course, 11 days to wait for an install. But we're going to have the higher speed internet on a second connection. So we'll be talking about that when that gets installed and let you know how that goes. They got a 30-day guarantee, so we'll see if it really works. Thanks, Michael, for your congratulations on show 700. Ross, thank you for yours. Max, thank you for your... Oh, I already covered these folks. Let's hear what else. Dun-dun-dun. Got an email from Brian. He said, hey, Ty, I listen to your Geek News show through my Roku video every week for the past 6 months. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that. Got an email here from Richard. He said, hey, Todd, this may be an odd old update, but in show 698, 699, you talked about the teen bomber that mentioned there was a Wi-Fi SSID name FBI surveillance band. So I've heard of people using this name when they want to have their Wi-Fi unsecured or a joke with their neighbors. Also, my brother and family are currently stationed in Oahu, and he's using Time Warner cable internet. He and our friends are PC gamers, but he is usually an unplayable connection with high latency on almost all game servers. Do you know of a better ISP in Hawaii? Brian, well, I'll tell you, we'll find out about Hawaiian's offering here soon. It's only available in certain areas, but it sucks. It does. I feel your pain. Got an email from another Brian saying, hey, Todd, heard you talking about flossing and hating it. If it makes you feel better, I don't think you're alone. The majority don't like to floss, even though I hated floss too. I found something that is not as messy and acts like a toothpick floss. I've got those too, Brian. Those little ones that you can hold in your hand, you can do in your car. I've got a bag of my car, so... thanks for the email on that. George, thank you for your comments on 700 shows. Appreciate it. Andrew sent me some quick links along with the voicemail on talking about a new 120 petabyte drive, and they could help predict weather better. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email here from Dave. Dave, we've covered this a couple of times. He says, Todd, I think you missed a story about Google and Sage TV. We've read this three or four times, haven't we? He says this caused a lot of people to upset in the Sage TV forum. The web store was suddenly closed without warning. No products or software could be purchased. Almost new news about the future Sage TV and Google TV has been released in 2 months. Sage TV is by far the best computer-based PVR solution I thought we've got this like 3 or 4 times, Dave. So I think we've covered it 2 or 3 times. Got an email here from Seth on thought you might like the time lapse videos. And that was the link that we're going to share with you from Gizmodo on the Hubble videos. And got some emails tonight just before the show from some folks on Google Plus talking about Netflix losing stars, talking about the DOJ antitrust lawsuit, and also a video that I wasn't aware of from Volvo and Siemens teaming up to build better electric engines. They say rumor has it that LHC is on track to prove or disprove the existence of Higgs particles. And I don't know how that has to do anything with Volvo and Siemens, but anyway, the link to that will be in the show notes. And a final email tonight was that Netflix is going to have cash, do lots of neat content deals. Stars was extorting them and were only 6% of their watch instantly traffic. So thanks everyone for all their emails and comments on Google Plus, Twitter, and everyone else. And thank all of you for hanging out here with me on the show. Let me come back to center camera before we bounce out. Hey, I want to thank everyone for hanging with me. Show 701, we're on the next march to 800. And as always, I appreciate you guys for being here and being part of the Ohana and hanging out with me. It's been my pleasure. We'll be back with you Saturday with a Saturday morning tech show. And the writers and bloggers of Geek News Central will be on to chat tech. Should be a kind of a cool, different show. I'm actually looking forward to it. We're going to have one of our UK writers in as well. So those of you in the UK, it's going to happen at 9 a.m. Pacific or 12 noon Eastern. That's 6 a.m. Hawaiian GMT minus 10. So we hope that you'll join us for the Saturday morning tech. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here at Geek News Central. Until next time, aloha.